The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
Let's go, baby!
Are you ready for a break?
Yes.
Are you ready for a break?
Absolutely.
Ready for a break?
Yeah, and so much for that.
It's time for The Break on DallasCowboys.com.
We were on the break!
With Nick Eatman, Brian Broaddus, Ambar Garcia, and Derek Eagleton.
It is Friday, January 20th, 2023, season 18, episode number 111. Welcome to the latest edition of The Break. We're live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star, presented by Miller Lite, the only beer of the Dallas Cowboys. We'll get you ready today for Cowboys versus 49ers. It is the divisional round of the playoffs. That game happens this Sunday. It is a 6:30 p.m. Eastern time start. That's 5:30 Central. It'll be 3:30 for us out on the West Coast. But we'll get you guys ready for that game today. By the end of the show, we'll give you our predictions of what we think will happen. Let's start first, though, with a couple injuries that are coming out of the last game and what you guys are hearing or thinking from the standpoint of these guys being available this weekend. Let's start first with Jason Peters. Yesterday, Brian, you said you don't think that's going to happen.
No, I don't. I don't think that's going to happen. That's a hip flexor, and you know, and he was off on the side and stuff working yesterday. I just don't know if he can get ready fast enough for that. So, unless something changes, you know, sometimes these players, when it turns into playoff football, and they kind of see where they have to be or need to be, that they find a way. But I just didn't get the vibe that that one was going to be a possibility this week.
Nick, what are you hearing about Jayron Kearse?
Well, these two guys, it's backwards. It's really weird. If you looked at these two guys yesterday, which guy is limited and could probably play, and which guy is not going to play, you would have thought it the other way around.
Yeah.
Kearse didn't have any equipment on at all. He walked out there. He had a big sleeve on his knee. He walked out to do some rehab, and they called him limited. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened after that. I don't know if he got Superman and he got his stuff on and he was limited. So I think he's going to play, but I don't expect him to be really really effective. He's limping around. I mean, he doesn't look good. He's limping around. I get he wants to play. I get it. He's talked about the 49ers more than the 49ers have talked about themselves. He's talked about this game for a whole year, but I don't know. I was told to me that this is kind of similar to what happened in week one against the Bucs. Well, he missed four games. So.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, you know what's tough here is like, okay, you got a guy that definitely wants to play, and a couple of days ago he was saying he's 100% ready to go and all that. Then you see that at practice, but then you get to this point where do you go all in and just put him out there and see how much he can handle, or do you try to protect whatever injury and try to hope he's better for what's to come? So it's like one of those, do you go all in or protect to thinking, okay, who are we playing next? Giants or Eagles? And is he going to be ready for that? Or the Super Bowl? So I don't know which way, but I would assume they go with protecting the player and his condition.
Yeah, they
but
always
at the
will.
Same time, there are some times where you need to hear like how the player is actually feeling, and then you get maybe him come. And we know this. We hear it all the time. Players saying, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good. Yeah. So it's tough to evaluate. But like Nick said, he didn't look like someone that's 100% out there.
No, and you're running out of days, though, too. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the thing about it is.
Didn't have a lot.
The thing that's interesting is that, you know, with his knee, it was one of those things where he got hurt in a pregame. Remember, and then all of a sudden he comes back and plays.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so now you're kind of like, well, is it something that he deals with, or is this something, you know, but Nick's right.
I forgot about that game.
He was laying on the ground. They're carrying him off the field.
And
then the next thing you know, he's lining up,
field,
and yeah. it always reminds me of the Byron Jones, like, sitting on the field and putting his knee back in place. That one time in a game, and I'm thinking like, man, these guys. But we'll see. We'll see. I mean, the whole thing. I think that, you know, these guys want to play. Are they all? You know, are they all completely healthy? No, but are they 80%? Are they 75%? You know, that's where you have to kind of find out. You know, guys will say they will do. Maybe a guy like Peters is, you know, if he doesn't have to start, mate, can you be the backup? You know, can you go through and be the backup if you had to play, you know, in this game? Could you give us 30 plays? You know, that's the thing. Or, you know, you worry about that because you're in a kind of a little bit of a bind now with a couple of situations. The kicker, the tackle, and then the safety. So now you're trying to think about your 48. You know, you go out there and you run curse out there on that field, and it works for like it did for Amari Cooper in the Jets game where he went five plays. And now you're down, you know, where you could have, like, you know, these guys will want to give it a go, but, you know, your numbers also are kind of in a weird situation right now, too.
Because last week there was, like, you know, 10 DBs versus 10 defensive linemen. And while you would think 10 defensive linemen might make more sense in a game like this where a team likes to run, but if Curse is iffy and let's say Marquise Bell is that last guy that was up, he was activated last week, he might be the guy activated again. He might be because you need depth at safety for that situation that Brian's talking about there. But McCarthy said he's in everything. You know, he made it sound like Curse is going to be okay. So we'll see. I mean, you know, Curse is talking like they're in their way. 49ers are in our way of what we want to go and all this kind of stuff. I mean, I just think he's saying all the things that make it sound like he will play. I just wonder with last week what they did with McQuamu in the middle of the field and all these different things, these packages that have to happen. I wonder with Curse not being a part of some of the practicing, just how effective he's going to be. I'm not trying to doubt him because, I mean, he plays with will. He plays strong. But, I mean, this isn't a great sign for him.
Well, you would think, based on those four games that he was out, that the Cowboys' defense doesn't go just basically to nothing without him. Donovan Wilson can play the position, yeah. and you feel really good about what Donovan Wilson can provide for you. So in the event that he can't play or isn't quite as effective as you want, you do have some recourse there, right?
Sure.
Yeah, the thing about this game, though, is to me, you know, you're going to need all the downhill players you can get.
Yeah.
And Curse is a downhill player. Wilson's a downhill player. Van Der Esch is a downhill player. You know, I mean, you're going to need as many of those bodies running, you know, getting to the outside.
If he doesn't play, I actually think I would go with Jabril Cox before I would go with, or if you need some depth there, I may go with Jabril Cox. I know that they play different spots, but I think, like Brian's saying, I think a guy closer to the line of scrimmage would be where Curse is playing as opposed to being in the back end.
I just asked somebody in the organization the question we're pondering right now. Answer was, we'll play.
We'll play.
We'll play.
All right. Well, there you go.
I'm sorry I let you guys down.
And well played.
Yeah. I wanted to get that in, but while we were talking about it, I said, you know what? Stop messing around here, Broadus. Ask a question.
That's like my favorite clip on the internet is that I showed this to Brian because this was something Brian would do. It was a basketball announcer pregame. His name's Scott Hastings. And he's getting, you know, from the studio, they're like, you think so and so is going to play? Yeah. And they're shooting. And he turns around. And he's like, hey, are you playing? And the guy's like shooting. He's like, nah. He's like, he ain't playing. And I sent that to Brian. I was like, he would do that. Because Brian's like, hold on, let me just text someone.
Yeah. I think we did that one time. I think there was a pregame show that we did something from the field.
We just asked the guy.
And he asked the guy, I'm like, it was Philip Tanner or somebody like that. Yeah. Like, we turn around, hey, you in today? And he's like, yeah, I'm good. I'm like, okay, yeah, we're going to get some.
He's playing. Breaking news.
You can always tell by the shoes, too, in the pregame when they, you know.
The tape.
The guy's got the Jordans on. Yeah. Like, nah, he ain't going.
Well, okay, so. So yeah, you're gonna get a positive then from so the I think the safety condition. Let's see, like, again, how long. But like I say, these guys aren't gonna put people out there that are hurt. They're very mindful of that, but they also know how tough their team is. And a guy like Curse wants to play in this game.
Yeah.
You know, what was your third question? You said safety, kicker, and then you said tackle.
What did I say?
Was it defensive tackle?
What did I say?
I thought
safety,
you said tackle.
Kicker. Tackle as far as the backup tackle like that, if you want.
Okay.
Yeah.
No Peters.
Yeah,
right.
No Peters. You have to kind of figure that out.
Devontae Collins, maybe? I don't know. How many
times. Well, he was up last week,
yeah,
right?
I don't know what the elevation rules are in the playoffs. Can you just keep elevating guys? I start zero again? I don't know. This is all
we need to ask that question to somebody else.
Sure. I mean, divisional games is new. You know, the last time
about
we're in a divisional
when we come
game,
back for the after the break,
there was no elevation talk. You
well,
know?
With these injuries, does that complicate things for guys that last week didn't make it to the active roster? And maybe even if the Cowboys necessarily wanted to bring them back up, do you have some of those issues now where you're like, maybe we need to bring an extra safety because we don't know if Kirst can make it to a full game. Mm-hmm. We don't have Peters. Maybe we need an extra offensive. I don't know where it all comes from, but do you think that now affects people like Bohanna, Gallimore, sure, even Nashawn Wright?
Yeah, yes. And it also affects if they want to bring up a kicker, if they want to do that.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to do that. But again,
with any of those guys?
Well, I'm talking about just with
the kicker. Okay.
I mean, I don't think they're going to elevate him. I don't know. I could be wrong there. But I think from what happened in practice yesterday.
They were working as we walked in.
Tell me what happened in practice. I know there was some reports coming out.
I mean, Maher made his kicks.
All of them?
Yes. I think his six made them all. Vizcaino.
Three of five. Yeah.
The one of them that he made, I mean, like, that thing was like slicing in, like, you know, it was
practice squad elevations reset for the playoffs. Yeah,
awesome.
Oh, so there you go. All right,
we're 2 for 2 today.
Avante Collins. Ask someone if the kicker is going to come in. I mean, while we're at it here,
yeah, let's just keep asking questions.
Our
and
fifth
see how
member
many
of the show.
I'm running out. I'll be texting you guys here in a minute.
Let me ask. two different people there.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would think.
I was here for 14 years, the same time. I was here when you got here, too.
Yeah.
We came at the same time. I just kind of.
How about saying
you were a lot, you were a lot better doing your job than I was.
Who do you have in your phone?
Hold on. I don't know. All right. Nobody.
I guess, though.
They're wearing white socks this week. How about that?
Nice scoop. So you think that, and you talked about it, going against a run-heavy team, do you think there's a need for guys like Bohanna and Gallimore to be active this week? Or do you think, you know, we got Watkins, you got Osa, you got Hankins, like you got defensive tackles that can hold it down. Do you think they're going to need more bodies this week?
Yeah, I could see one more guy. I mean, but then again, I'm not getting into what Dan Quinn's trying to do and all that. He's got a plan for it. It just
he surprised us last week with kind of the combination, the guys that he went with. I mean, we were in the press box looking at the inactives, and we're like, oh, that's interesting. Yeah. So, like you said, Dan Quinn, who knows what he got in store this week?
It's kind of funny, though, when you think about training camp, Gallimore and Bohanna. We're talking about them, you know, oh, these guys are starting. They're first team, you know, just how – and I think at one point they both did. They both were starting. And now you've got – you know, they traded for Hankins. You've got Carlos Watkins, who they had cut and brought back and was on the
practice
squad.
They really like him a lot. Yeah.
He makes plays.
Yeah. He is. He's a good defensive tackle.
See,
he really is.
There's – I was visiting with some people that know him very, very well. And the part when he got released from the team was very eye-opening to him. I mean, that was something he conveyed. It's like, because they were asking him, like, man, you're having a great year doing this, that, and the other. And he says, when I got released, that opened my eyes to what I need to do. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's what it, when all of a sudden they say, hey, we don't need you anymore. And then you're like, whoa, I just went from no one, you know, being comfortable here to now you don't need me anymore.
Are you saying when you got released from the Texans or?
The Cowboys.
Okay. Yeah, the Cowboys. Yeah. Yeah. It was very much a, whoa. Kind of a moment for him. Yeah.
Yeah. He is a really, I think, a really productive player there at defensive tackle.
Man, you know what? I think that maybe what you guys saw from the press box at Raymond James the other day was the fact that Tampa wasn't going to run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden it's like, get up the field, guys. And that's what you had. That's who you dressed. You dressed get up the field guys. But you did get a little bit of with Golston, a guy that can play the run. So it wasn't like Osa's a get up the field guy. Golston's more of an end playing tackle that kind of can do a little bit. But I think his Golston's best attributes are his ability to play the run.
Yeah.
So we'll see this week.
What did you guys see from Xavier Rhodes last week? And do you think there's a chance that maybe he gets replaced by Nashawn Wright this week as a guy that kind of comes up to be maybe your fourth corner if you like what you saw from Kwamu?
If you believe in conspiracy theories, Dan Quinn was holding back Izzy, not letting anybody know that who was going to be his real corner going forward. That let's keep rolling guys through. Let's keep trying guys. you know, and or maybe I'm completely wrong about this. Maybe because Dan Quinn kind of figured out that Micah Parsons, when Tank went down week two last year, Dan Quinn's like, you ever think this guy could rush the passer? You know, and then now you see the legend of Micah Parsons. Maybe he saw the same thing in Izzy. Yeah. You know, maybe he saw like, listen, I'm just going to hold this guy and I'm going to play him. But man, what a big moment. We've seen Izzy play really, really well in training camp and get opportunities and stuff, but not to this point.
Yeah.
But if you do believe in conspiracy theories, Dan Quinn was holding Izzy just not to show anybody what they had there at corner. And me personally, the 2-minute ball that went to Rhodes down the sidelines,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he looks back inside, I'm like, no, bro, that's you. that's you. You got to run with. And we talked about what are his deficiencies.
Yeah.
Can't run. Yeah. Can't run. Yeah.
But he does do this. He's physical. Mm-hmm. He knows things. I mean, he knows he can recognize things. I don't know if you can change your packages all the time, but if you get into a red zone goal line situation, yeah. especially when they like to run wide, that means those corners are going to have to get up and hit.
Yeah.
Plus, he knows how to switch off and things like that. He recognizes things, but you're right. Just one-on-one, me versus you, that's not his game anymore. Yeah. He's not like Patrick Peterson, he's an older guy too, but Patrick Peterson can still run. Terrence Newman could run. He probably could run now.
Yeah.
You know, those guys, but when you lose
Maybe you get into a situation too, like Nick's talking about. It's a really good point on his part. Is you get into a red zone situation where you have to be a physical guy, but the field shrinks and you don't have to extend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You could be physical. You could chase. That's the problem that I worry about with San Francisco. Is how much man coverage are you going to play? Because they will run you through the forest.
Yep.
You know, I mean, they will run through. They'll run you through Kittle, mm-hmm. Juszczyk. You know, Debo, they'll run you through everybody.
Yeah.
And these guys are so good at doing it. And then you got a quarterback that just, kind of thing. So,
man, yeah. Diggs and Deron Bland, those guys,
it's gonna,
they got to tackle. They got, you know, Deron Bland's physical.
Yeah.
He's a physical guy. Diggs is a really good corner.
but no, Diggs is capable.
He is.
Because we saw, and I kill Diggs a lot for this because. I'm from the old crusty school of give me corners that tackle. You know, give me the Antoine Winfields that, you know, the old school. Give me those guys that come up and hit you and stuff like that. And so then you watch Diggs. We saw him in the Cincinnati game earlier this year. It was a third down play. He tackles short for a fourth. It's a mm-hmm. fourth down play. Tackles short again.
Yep.
Fourth down. Off the field. You know, you're like, it's crossing. It's carrying. The ball's there. He's tackling. It's when it's coming right at him that it's a little bit of a, oh, I'm not so sure about this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the part that you have to worry about against a team like this that's very physical.
Yeah.
They're going to try to send it at him.
44, yeah. 71, yep. 19. Yep. All these guys are coming at you.
Force him to tackle when they're coming at him. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's go ahead and take our first break. When we come back, we're going to jump into the actual matchup. Got some questions for you guys. Brian also got a little reconnaissance on.
Once again, somebody talked to me.
on some information on the Raiders and how the Raiders were able to be successful offensively against this team. We'll talk about that when we come back. DallasCowboys.com radio.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
What do you call a group of grown men and women with their faces painted silver and blue who get together every week to share a 3-hour-long ritual of jumping, singing, and toasting Miller Lite and 10-gallon hats while yelling, "How about them Cowboys?" You call it Miller Time in Dallas. Here's to the Cowboys. Here's to the original light beer. It's Miller Time. Celebrate responsibly. 2021 Miller Brewing Company, Fort Worth, Texas.
Want to use what the pros use? How about the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys? Jack Black. Right now you can get the Jack Black Starter, a curated collection of Cowboys locker room favorites for just $10 with free shipping. The starter includes four Jack Black skincare favorites, plus a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Go to getjackblack.com/cowboys and use the code word TEAMJB. That's getjackblack.com/cowboys. The Jack Black Starter, $10, free shipping.
When you build, you start with the foundation. And home ownership is a foundation of a stable future. The Bank of America Community Home Ownership Commitment has helped over 34,000 people lay the groundwork so far, with up to $10,000 towards your down payment or 3% of the purchase price, whichever is less. The satisfaction of owning your own place can become a reality. Visit bankofamerica.com/homeowner to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, Equal Housing Lender. Credit and collateral is subject to approval. Restrictions apply. This is not a commitment to lend.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Back to the break.
Just steps away from the Dallas Cowboys World Headquarters in Frisco, visit the Star District, your destination for excellent dining, premier shopping, and exciting events. Visit thestardistrict.com for more information. That's a read right there.
Speaking of which, I owe you a lunch.
Okay.
You want to do that today?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Birthday?
No.
Sorry if I missed one.
We
made a little friendly wager.
Oh.
That I did not think. No, I didn't think.
The easiest bet I've ever made.
It was.
And I've made some
I didn't think Zach Martin would be a first team All-Pro this year. I didn't. I thought he had a good year. I didn't think he would be a first team All-Pro, though. Yeah. And Nick and Kyle both like lined up outside my office.
Get my hand out fast.
I'm in. And so, yeah, of course, they won.
I'll tell you what, man, that sushi marquee across the way is not bad.
I love it. I don't know.
Today's a good day to do it. We'll see.
Yeah, that's it.
I still got to go down to your place on the corner.
Which one?
The
Tricky Fish?
The Tricky Fish.
Oh, man. You got to go to Tricky Fish. Yeah. It's good stuff, man.
And I owe you guys some gumbo, too. What am
you
I doing?
You do. I'm like, we've gone through the entire season and still haven't gotten any gumbo.
I will make some gumbo.
It would have been perfect today because it's cold. I'm freezing.
What's this guy up to? All right.
I'm freezing.
We'll get some gumbo.
All right.
Sweater
You're not
on
allergic
anything.
To anything, are you? You're
no.
not allergic to anything? Okay,
no.
Cool.
Like Amber eats
penicillin.
Everything.
Don't give me penicillin.
Oh, me too. You allergic to penicillin?
Yeah, I found out when I was giving birth. They didn't know.
That's not a good time to find out.
But luckily, I was at the hospital, so they took care of it.
Horrible time to find out, though. You got other things going on.
Whoops, she's hiving up. Penicillin's not good.
And she's having a baby, but, you know, whatever. All right, welcome back. Second segment of the break live from SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star. The segment presented by Blockchain.com.
Real quick question for Nick. Real quick. Yeah.
Yes.
Favorite fictional sports coach?
Fictional sports coach? Is there an answer? I mean,
well, no, anyone you want.
Norman Dale.
I was saying, is that your favorite one?
That's the first one.
Like
that came
Ted
to my
Lasso,
mind.
Oh, no. Reggie Dunlap, some Slapshot. I mean, Morris Buttermaker from Bad News Bears.
Herman Boone.
But that was a real guy, right?
It's true. Yeah, it was.
Norman Dale.
He's the Hoosiers, right?
We don't
right?
have time for this.
Okay, no, I just, because it was a story.
I have a story about that, but
it was a question we asked on the radio yesterday.
Norman Dale, yeah. Can I just do a quick story?
Sure, go for it.
Sorry. Especially since
you're
Chris,
like me. You
especially
can't tell
since Chris earlier, he was showing me something, some clip of this fake coach yelling at his kids. But anyways, Norman Dale, my favorite part of the movie Hoosiers, which you probably have never seen.
I was like, who's Norman Dale?
He coaches Hoosiers. It's the Indiana basketball team. And he's trying to set an example to his new team here. They only have like five kids and on the team. And he keeps saying, pass the ball. This kid just jacks up a shot all the time. So he's on the bench. I guess they have six kids. And someone fouls out, so he just goes in the game, and he's like, where are you going? He's like, in the game. He's like, sit down. No. He's like, we got to have five. He's like, sit down. And the coach comes over, and he's like, coach, you need one more. And he
ref,
goes,
yeah.
I'm the ref. Yeah, you need one more. And he goes, my team is on the floor. This is a great moment in the movie. Well, Fast forward, what, 40 years. I'm coaching soccer. We're getting beat like 8-0. We got a kid crying over here to his mom. We got another kid in the bathroom. We're getting all this stuff. And another kid just tried to punch another player on the team. So he's getting reprimanded over
here. On his own team?
No, on the other team. Okay, the other team. He like takes a swing, yeah, all that. So he's getting talked to by the coach. We're a mess. We only got like, it's 4-on-4. We only got 3 kids. And literally the exact same face, this little like 15-year-old kid comes over as a ref and goes, "Coach, you need one more." And I was like, you know, I couldn't say floor, but I was like, "Our team is on the field," you know. And I thought that was like the greatest moment. Nobody got this moment, but I got it.
I know, because the ref's
like,
still like,
the ref was like,
"Does he understand what I just said?"
But it said it in
did
that
you have
same
a, did you have a rolled up program
yeah,
in your hand?
Kind of, yeah. Everyone's booing. All that. I was like, "Our team is on the field." You know? We gave up another
that,
goal.
And he like put his hand in the air. Yeah. And walked off.
Yeah. And I was like, I, you know, guy. And I had the music in my head going on. I think they scored again on us. Whatever. We learned a lesson that day.
What was it?
Get Pele on your team, you know, like try to get like Ronaldo or something like that. You know, we don't have those kids, you know. Yeah, play club soccer. That's what you got to do.
You got Ambar's son coming up here super
yeah.
soon, right?
Ready yeah. To go. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He's probably some as good athletes as any there, kids right? you got on the team, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Let's jump in. Let's talk about this matchup. Brian, you were able to talk some folks around the league that you deal with about that Raiders game and some of the things that they observed.
Yeah.
What were you hearing?
Well, the thing about it was what this and we talked about how you have to be able to block the front. We talked about that yesterday. We talked about they don't do a whole lot. You know, that's another thing that they were talking about. There's people are saying, hey, if you control the front, and what you do is this coach told me.
And this is talking Cowboys offense versus their defense.
Yeah, Cowboys, because the 49er defense, everybody seems to be worried. How are you going to move the ball? How are you going to, you know, how are you going to handle all that? It's a whole other thing how to trying to stop them, you know. That's another day. But my guys were telling me about this is if you're able to control their front and making them blitz, they don't want to play man coverage. They don't want to do that. They like playing in zone because it protects their guys. Mm-hmm. And what this one coach was telling me about, he's like, listen, he says, we could talk about Tre'Varius Ward, and we could also talk about Lenore, the other corner. He says, but the guy you could take advantage of is Jimmy Ward, the nickel, number one. Mm-hmm. He says, now, what teams have been able to do is that you get him into some matchups. He doesn't – he of the guys that can cover on the back, he's the one – now, Hufanga, the safety, is the one you want to try and get your tight end on. That's the one they say. But they said also Ward out of the slot. He's just not accustomed. Even though he plays it, it's not his favorite thing to do. So Kellen Moore, CD, think about how you want to. Maybe even if it turns into T.Y. Hilton in there a little bit, or somebody that you feel like can win, because Ward isn't really comfortable having to carry guys. That's not his thing. But that's how they play man. When he comes on the field, if you get him in 11 personnel, you know, they're going to probably play man coverage. It's something that they really, really don't want to do. So that was something. Attack Jimmy Ward in this game was something they said. Another thing they said is, listen, move your tight end. And move your tight end. What he said was they create bubbles. Like if you put the tight end to the right side, they're going to take that as that's the strength, that's where the ball's coming. You move the tight end to the other side, you create a bubble over there to run the ball at. Mm. So if you're going to run the ball in the 49ers, run it at the bubble. Don't run it where the tight end is, because that's they declare that's the strength. So if you move your what they call the Y or the tight end, you move your Y, then that creates bubbles in their defense that you can potentially run the ball at. So
away from the tight end.
Away from the tight end, but just, you know, and this and make that happen that way.
I'm for that because it's not like the tight end's going to – he's not opening up a whole lot of lanes blocking, you know. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's how it. You create space for yourself.
Yeah.
Another thing is you said you have to be really – you have to be really disciplined, because their rush is up the field. The guy told me, your quarterback has to be willing to run. Okay, now we've seen Dak run a little bit, which is good. I mean, it's good, but Dak, Jerry was asked about that today. It's, you know, go run. Go do what you have to do to go win this game. Their rush up the field is not – it's almost like the Cowboys rush, not organized at times. Mm. It's get up the field, sack you before you have a chance, but you have guys that get maybe out of position. Dak has to be willing to – those times when he gets back, he's got to be willing to, when he sees a gap, just charge it. go for it. Get 5, 6, 7 yards, fight for another play, you know, but you got a positive play, you didn't get sacked. So undisciplined rush, you have to be disciplined enough to know that if you see the gap, go for it, because that's your best opportunity to make things happen. Another thing this guy says is your big plays are your toss crack plays where you block down, mm-hmm. get stuff on the perimeter. Those are good plays against them. On things on the outside, he said you can't make a living running inside on these guys. So everything on the outside is good for you. Another thing they said is really good is the screens, especially the slip screens where you get a back and you just kind of slide him out. And I said, this team hadn't run a screen since like 1989. And he goes, yeah, I understand that. He goes, the next best thing you do is run draws because they come up the field. Mm-hmm. And the Cowboys, we've seen the Cowboys with the game. Dak takes it, hands it to Pollard inside, and then they attack. Everybody's up the field, and they break the first wave and get into the second wave. So if you can't run screens against these guys, the draws are really, really, really a good way to attack them running the football. He also said in your drop back passing game, it's 1-2 throw. 1-2 throw. 1-2 throw. He says you don't want to turn this into, like, let's say they're going to play. He called it a post zone. Post zone means he's got a safety in the middle of the field. It's like single high. Mm-hmm. So you're either going to get post zone or you're going to get what they call split zone, which is cover two.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you know going in, that's what you're going to see. There's not going to be anything. There's not going to be the Rob Ryan crazy exotic looks and stuff like that. You're either going to get the single high look or the two deep. And that's what he says. That's when you got to go. It's got to be one step, two step, throw. One step, two step, throw. He goes, that's how you find a way to get plays on these guys.
So how do you make your big plays downfield? If you're doing 3-step drops, typically you're doing 5-7 step drops if you're trying to go downfield.
Yeah, that's the thing about it is, he said to get the ball, to continue to move the chains, you got to think about the 1 or 2 step drops. When they were with the Raiders, they were thinking that what I was talking to about them was they were thinking about, they were able to like I said, block the front. Mm. They were able to like, okay, man on man, and then it allowed their quarterback also, when you watch the tape, was Stidham was able to move a little bit in the pocket. So that's where it also comes into play. If somehow, some way Dallas can hold up in this game, and I'll say this is my final thing to you. They can make plays on the secondary. That is your best shot to win this football game. It is going to be about Block and Armstead, Kinlaw, Bosa. Just somehow, some way, you got to match that thing up across the front, because the secondary. I feel like, me personally watching this tape, and I asked this guy, I said, I felt like that Philadelphia's defense was better overall than what San Francisco's is. He says the fronts are basically the same. He says the secondaries aren't.
Because Philly's got a great secondary.
Philly's got a better secondary. Yeah. So that's where some of the things. But, again, the draw plays, the moving the Y, and then the ability to, like, not be afraid to, if the rush is up the field, take the opportunity to go with it. And they do not want to play man coverage, so you have to take advantage of it when they do play man coverage.
You know, one thing you got to remember, too, is you know, when you're facing new quarterbacks, you know, like the Bengals had a hard time at first, you know, just with Rush, and the Cowboys with Minshew, and the Cowboys with Howell, and maybe 49ers with Stidham, you know, because it was like their first start. So you kind of wonder sometimes – If that is a factor too, wasn't that Stidham's first start?
Was.
So, you know, they'll have probably a better read on Dak than they did in that game too. So, but yeah, that's some really good stuff too, because it kind of shows. It seems like to me what you're saying is the 49ers do what they do.
Yeah,
and they expect to just.
And by the way, when you got that good players, you can do what you do.
Yeah. See, when we were talking about with D'Amico Ryans, the defensive coordinator, there, other buddies I talked to that played him. We're saying, listen, D'Amico will come up with a package if he feels like you're better or equal or better than them. Mm-hmm. But if you're a team that they can kind of just out talent,
mm-hmm. yeah.
he'll play you straight up. Yeah.
Well, I wonder what he feels about that then, because this is probably close. This is probably the best team that he's probably the best offense that he's faced really since Kansas City.
Yeah,
I would think. Yeah. You know, when they beat Miami. Miami was kind of rolling a little bit
there. Was Tua playing at that point? He's been in and out so much.
I didn't watch the game. The Dolphins had a couple of bad games. They were in that California trip. They got beat by the Chargers. Yeah. And then they stayed behind, or it was vice versa. It was they got beat by the 49ers and lost the Chargers, or lost the Chargers and played the 49ers. But it was two really bad games for them offensively out there.
All right, we're going to take our final break. We'll come back. We got some questions from the fans. They've been sending them all week. We're going to get to some in this final segment. We'll be back. DallasCowboys.com radio.
The season is finally here. For months, we've been gearing up to win. Now it's time for the team that performs on any field, United Ag and Turf. With John Deere zero turns for mowing, compact tractors for loading, mini excavators for digging, Gator utility vehicles for hauling, implements for grading, hay tools for baling, United Ag and Turf for winning. The official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com for more.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Lil' Sweet! Did you get to work on time?
Yeah, but I just realized it's Sunday.
Lil' Sweet says head on home. Dr. Pepper's on its way. So sweet, unique. Baby, there's nothing better. I bet you've probably done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper. Did you invest your nest egg in an NFT?
Yeah, and I don't even know what that is.
It's a non-fungible token.
Everyone's done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
When you build, you start with the foundation. And home ownership is a foundation of a stable future. The Bank of America Community Home Ownership Commitment has helped over 34,000 people lay the groundwork so far. With up to $10,000 towards your down payment or 3% of the purchase price, whichever is less, the satisfaction of owning your own place can become a reality. Visit bankofamerica.com/homeowner to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, Equal Housing Lender. Credit and collateral is subject to approval. Restrictions apply. This is not a commitment to lend.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Back to the break.
Get the ultimate fan experience for the ultimate Cowboys fan. Join Dallas Cowboys United, presented by Globe Life. It starts at just $20. Join now. Get your fan pack, exclusive benefits, and more. Visit DallasCowboys.com/United for details to join today.
Welcome back. Final segment of the break, live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star. Let's get some fan questions. They've been sending them in all week. Let's get to it. We've got one first from Jay Stender. He says, what are the biggest differences between these two teams when they met a year ago to where they are right now?
Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, that trade
part of it.
That trade made them that's something they absolutely had to do, you know, to get that done. I mean, they realized that they had, you know, they had good backs, but they also needed, you know, here's a dynamic back. Here's a back that can catch, run. He's perfect for what they do. Mm-hmm. He really, really is. He's so hard to stop just because, you know, you could put him out wide. You could, you know, you put him in the backfield. You hand him the ball. I mean, there's just so much you can do. He's just such a hard guy to stop.
I think from the Cowboys' perspective, I think that they've figured out, you know, in the offseason, they had to get CeeDee Lamb and Tony Pollard a part of this offense, and along with some others. And Schultz is one of the others, and Zeke has been one of the others. But those other two guys are dynamic, and I don't think there's going to be one catch for 20 yards for CeeDee Lamb in this game. I think he's going to be a lot more of a factor. I think Tony Pollard will be a lot more of a factor. I think they've just matured as an offense, even despite all the injuries. But I also think, too, that they're going to be a more physical team. I think that was a key. You saw it in the draft. They had to get physical, and they used that game as a benchmark to say, we're not getting our ass kicked.
And do you think they are?
I do. I think they're a more physical team. And if they didn't like what was happening at defensive tackle, they got a guy and they traded for Hankins. Hopkins. They got Tyler Smith. Was he ready to play? Debatable. Could he bench press 600 pounds? Yeah.
And every game he seems to take out his anger on someone. I mean, like, did you see that play from this last game where he tosses Devin White? I mean, like, every game you'll see one of those where he gets into somebody and just throws them.
The fact that he's not being mentioned for Rookie of the Year is ridiculous. And maybe he will be, because if you look at – Purdy might be in there too. He's only played a handful of games, but it's been great. But, I mean, I think offensive linemen always get overlooked in that. And when you think about him playing guard tackle, back and forth, and playing it really well, I mean, his rookie season has been amazing.
I think that another thing that has changed, and I can't go back to remember the exact number, but I think it was Micah that was talking about it yesterday in regards to penalties and, you know, those type of mistakes. That's something that they've cleaned up. That was still a struggle at the beginning of this season and towards the middle of it. And they seemingly have cleaned that up on both sides of the ball, defensively and on the offense. So I think that's something that's going to obviously help them in that regard. That has been quite the improvement compared to how they were last year.
Boy, that you're right. That game last year, that penalties were just unbelievable in that game. Like, Cedric Wilson had a huge penalty in that game where had a nice play. It was like a 20-yard play, and all of a sudden he blocked in the back or something like that. Yeah. And then Randy Gregory had, you know, had some tough penalties on him. And so, yeah, it's you know, that part of it's cleaned up clearly. You know, that from what you saw last year.
Yeah, but a part of it too. With penalties, and we think it's been cleaned up, but if you can't block them, you're going to hold them. I mean, that's what happens. So I do wonder if this offensive line is going to face a defensive line that's aggressive, that this is going to be a challenge to block. You know, I know Lyle Collins had issues, Connor Williams had issues, but, I mean, these guys could have issues too if they can't block him.
There have been times, even recently, that I feel that it's kind of flipped a little bit to where they can drop penalties. Mm-hmm.
Drew one last week. Yeah. Week 10, it was against Green Bay the last time they drew a holding call. But yeah, it was last week they actually drew a holding call on Donovan Smith, and you're kind of like, about time. Yeah. It they hadn't drawn one for 7 weeks. So I mean that's really, you know, the thing you have to, Bill Vinovich is the official for this game. He's the one that calls the least amount of penalties. Now I know it's an all-star crew. But I guarantee you, Bill Vinovich is going to walk in there with his crew before the game and say, listen, if you see it, call it. If you don't, I don't need any flags. Okay? Let's let these players decide it. Now, is that good for the Cowboys? It could be good for the Cowboys if all of a sudden you're struggling with that front and you're trying to, you know, if they're holding Micah, then I get to hold Bosa, you know, or I get to hold the defensive tackle. If they're holding my guys, I'm going to hold you. But, you know, that's what you have to kind of in these games. I appreciate officials that are going to let you play, you know. And I believe Bill Vinovich is probably going to tell his crew, you know, you call it when you see it. But if you don't, if you're not sure, you keep that flag in your pocket and let these players decide the game. I don't know who that benefits.
Yeah.
I don't know who that benefits the most in that type of game. Maybe it benefits the Cowboys because if you're thinking about your offensive line. You know, and having to block. I mean, I keep saying, hey, we got to block the front. You got to block the front. Well, maybe block the front means holding too, you know. And if you get away with that, maybe it'll help you make some plays.
It just feels to me like that game. It feels to me like Dallas lost that game to San Francisco last year by 3 scores. That's the way it feels coming out of that game.
160
And we forget how close that game was. Yeah. Like, Dallas was in position to be able to, I mean, that was not a game that was out of reach for them. And that's where I'm like, if you even found a little bit more from somewhere. Now, obviously, Christian McCaffrey changes things a bit.
He does change it, yeah.
But if you find a little bit more on offense and defense, this is not an unbeatable team. Like, Dallas is not going in to face, this is not Ivan Drago. Like, this is a team that they should be able
to. Who lost?
He did lose, right, exactly. Mm-hmm. But my point is, like, they can beat this team. This is not a situation where this team is so much better than Dallas or was even so much better than they were last year. It just felt like that because of how it went down.
This is one of those weird.
He's just a man.
He's just a man.
Be a more man than him. That's it.
This is one of those times where I kind of feel like if Dallas wins this game, they're going to the Super Bowl.
Oh my God.
That they're
going
to find a way.
I saw somebody tweet that this morning too.
It just makes me nervous.
It makes me sweat.
It makes me nervous.
But I mean, you've played the Giants and you've played, and I give the Giants a chance. I do.
I do too.
I give the Giants a chance because they were not even playing their guys in a game that Philadelphia had to win, and they lost by six.
Yeah.
There's if you somehow, some way, if the football gods smile to, on you on Saturday.
Huh? I was saying, keep coming up with funky at. Sorry, somehow, some way. I'm singing Snoop.
But that's, yeah, it's just to me, it's.
You're right.
I tell you what, if the Giants go out there and win, the best motivation you could have going into this game Sunday is if the Giants do win this football game.
But
to know that you could host the NFC Championship game against that. And the Giants, trust me, the Giants have gotten a lot better. But you know, if you win this game, you're hosting.
But the 49ers will also have that motivation, too, knowing that they will host
and
if
you know,
they win.
I'm talking about my motivation.
I don't care about the 49ers.
Quite frankly, though, in my mind, I keep thinking if this is the Cowboys' year, I think it's going to be they're going to have to go the hard route. I don't think they will get any breaks because you talk about it all the time, Brian.
Yeah.
This team's allergic to prosperity.
They are.
Like, I think the more things are stacked against them, the better. Like, I want them to have to go play San Francisco. I want them to have to go to Philadelphia and play Philadelphia. I want them to have to play Kansas City. If they're going to do it.
That's everything that's against what we believe. I've gotten in trouble for saying that.
No, but I'm just saying, like, if they're going to do it.
We talk about injuries, Brian.
Yeah, I know, right?
I'm telling you what, man.
Glad you did that on 105.3 because they would have been putting that all over like Dallas Cowboys official website.
I'm not going to lie. I'm surprised you guys had me on today, to be honest with you. But no, you know I'm not wishing. I'm not wishing for injuries.
No. I know exactly what you're saying. The only thing that ever stopped
that guy from being a great player
was an injury.
That's the only thing that's
But you never, you nor anybody else ever wishing for an injury. It was just tongue in cheek.
It absolutely was. I'm the number one villain in San Francisco right now.
Good thing you're not having to travel out there this week. That would have been interesting. All right, here we go. Let's get some predictions. What do you guys think is going to happen this weekend? Nick, let's start with you.
Well, I'll say this. If I'm Dan Quinn, what I would do though is Trent Williams plays left tackle. I'm putting Micah Parsons over there, and I'm going to run right at him on the first play of the game. If he's Stonewall Jackson, you know, Parsons, no one's going to say anything. All right, cool. He's got 60 more other rushes to get home. If he beats him, if he gets by him and gets to Purdy and makes a play or whatever, that right there could set the tone for everything. My best, your best, I just beat you, and now we're going to be here all day. I mean, that's what I would do. Now, do you keep him over there if it doesn't work? No, move him around, whatever. But I think you got to do something to set the tone. Set the tone there, set the tone with a deep ball, put Turpin in to throw it deep, put T.Y., something. Show him that we're here to win this game. I think...
You almost said something.
Yeah, he did almost say something.
Yeah. We're going to win this effing
but
game.
But I agree with you. Yeah.
Hit him right in the mouth.
Yeah.
Hit him right in the mouth. You have to. That's the only way you're going to do it. You got hit in the mouth last year. What do I think is going to happen? I think this is going to be really tough for the Cowboys to win. I really do. But I'm picking them to win because, as I said on the radio this morning, it's about freaking time that you and I go to the NFC Championship game. And we're going to – I can't even do this without talking. We're going to freaking go to the NFC Championship game. So the Cowboys are going to win 27-23.
All right.
And I can't believe I didn't just throw any words out there.
You almost did a few times. Amber.
You know, I'm going with my heart with this one, and I think sometimes that I've suffered long enough, but then I think of the people like you and the fans that have been with the Cowboys since their last Super Bowl, and I think, definitely it's freaking long enough. I don't know how people have stand that long, but I do think the Cowboys actually have a chance to win this game. I don't see it impossible whatsoever. I think that there are certain things that it's not preferred. You're going against a team that's pretty healthy and has a lot of talent on both sides of the ball, and it's going to be a tough one, but I think the Cowboys do manage and find a way to win. I think Dan Quinn will be able to just create some pressure and not make it that easy on those guys. And the Cowboys offense, they'll manage to score some points as well. Hopefully Dak has the same focus and mentality that he did against Tampa. And they're going to score some points. I do trust in Brett Maher getting those kicks right this week. So, Yeah, they win, and I do see it a close one. High-scoring game, though, I would say something like 37-35 Cowboys. Wow.
Okay. Yeah, I like what Ambar's saying. I think I do. I think it comes down to a Brett Maher field goal, and I think the Dallas wins 31-28.
All right. And I actually also think a similar thing. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I actually think it's going to be an overtime game. I think they're going to get to overtime.
No.
And
no.
I think no. And but, I, and, but here's the deal.
But both
I think
teams
it's going to be overtime.
Shot. Both
I think it's going to be overtime. But no. I think Cowboys win with a Brett Maher field goal. Yeah. 34-31 is your final score in overtime, and Dallas moves on.
My heart cannot handle an overtime.
Let me know how that works.
You're going to be out?
Yeah.
Nick's going to be punching
some wall. You guys will be on the field. You guys will be on the field at the end for that one, right?
We might, yeah.
Hopefully.
We might be for that one. Yeah.
Just remember what I used to say when it's over, right?
Oh, yeah.
Derek?
Oh, we'll give it to him.
Derek, I want you to turn to those San Francisco fans.
For that game, if it works out like I want, yes, I'm in.
Amber, take a video of him saying it to San Francisco.
No, I will not put that on video.
I want to see the video.
I will not put that on video. I will not put that on video, but I will definitely do it if
you
get
biscuits.
To that point.
He'll whisper it.
No, you got to yell it at him. You got to let him know.
All right, man. We'll see what happens this Sunday, man. It'll be a good game. It'll be a fun game. Let's have some fun out there in San Francisco. Hopefully the Cowboys come back victorious. We'll be back on Monday. We'll let you know what went right and wrong. Hopefully we'll be talking about a championship game. Till then, for Nick Eatman, Brian Broaddus, Amber Garcia, I'm Derek Eagleton. This has been The Break, live on DallasCowboys.com radio.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!